Are you looking to build a website or mobile application? Well, I'm Dan Melnick, and I'm the founder of Zeng. And I started this company because I had trouble finding good developers. I partnered with Qasim Masood, and he's in Pakistan. I'm in Austin, Texas, to offer cost-effective software development. We work in U.S. hours, and we're very efficient. We've worked on the top companies that you might recognize, like Last Media and AppSumo, and we'd love to help you out as well. So check us out, myzeng.io.
Thanks, Dan, for being on my show.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I've gone through a profile. I can see you're doing a lot of work. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
So my name is Brad Tompkins, and I'm the VMUG Executive Director. And part of that role is global responsibility for all the VMUGs across the globe. And of course, I have a team that helps me out with that. And a tremendous amount of work comes from our volunteers that are all over the globe. And we've got chapters in nearly every country in the world. And we do events in a lot of those countries, and local events and virtual events and things like that. So it's a fun role, and I enjoy doing it. And a little bit about VMUG. VMUG is a VMware user group. We're an independent organization. A lot of people think that we are, you know, part of VMware or now part of Broadcom, and that's not the case. We're an independent org, and our mission is for our members to get the most out of VMware and partner solutions. And we do that through peer-to-peer networking, educational events, training, in-person events, virtual events, all those kind of things. So that's a little bit about VMUG and what I do, and it's great to represent such an awesome community like the VMUG community, but we also call it the V community because it's more than just VMUG, and it's good to be a part of a bunch of technologists just trying to make things better.
You have been in this role for a long time, and you are helping a lot of a lot of companies and a lot of humans in making things happen. So how is this experience, and how you're enjoying this?
It is a fun job. It's a lot of work, but it's still a lot of fun. I started in, it was July 1st of 2015. So I'm coming up on 9 years of doing this. And it's a lot of people think that it's just events and things like that, which is the case. It is some of that, but it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. We've got a board of 11 members that set the direction and the strategy for the organization. And then it's up to VMUG to manage that, execute on that. And in fact, we just finished up a board meeting in Charlotte last week where we talked about, you know, how's VMUG going to navigate the changes in the industry, one of those being Broadcom and the changes that they've brought on, and how do we continue to serve our members. So that's a little bit about what we do. We also have folks on a communities team that helps the community. We have folks that are in sales that sells the event. Most all of our events are free events. And to do that, of course, we rely on sponsorships from partners and Broadcom. And membership is free too. So membership and attending the events are free. So that's why we need those other key players. And we've got a sales team that does that. We've got a team that works on deploying and executing our events. You know, they're event managers and event specialists and those kind of things. So, you know, as I say, it takes a village, but we get it all done. But it is a fun job. And probably the best part and the most rewarding thing about being part of VMUG is people will get involved in VMUG. And maybe they just attend a meeting for a first time. And they kind of get hooked on it, right? And they realize, okay, not only do I really like this technology, you know, VMware, NSX, vSAN, you know, VCF, whatever it is, they also like being part of the group that has a lot of people with a lot of different industries, a lot of different backgrounds, and those kind of things. And so they get more involved. Well, then next thing you know, maybe they're speaking at an event, at a local meeting. And then the next thing you know, they're at a UserCon and those kind of things. And then maybe they get a promotion in their job. Maybe they go find another job. Maybe they end up working at VMware. So I have got countless stories about people that have really gotten a lot out of being a VMUG member. And it's like anything in life. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out. But it's exciting to just be a small part of that. And Alan Renoff, he's with VMware, and this tweet's a little old, but I love using it. He was on stage at VMworld, back when they called it that, in Barcelona. And he was on stage with Pat Gelsinger, the then CEO. And when he walked off, he tweeted something, I'm paraphrasing, but he tweeted something like, you know, if you ever think about getting involved in a VMUG, just think that's how I got started. And I just walked off the stage of VMworld. So that's kind of an example of how getting involved in VMUG gets infectious, and it really can help your career. Like I tell our team often, I'm like, we are not in the event execution business. Yes, we do that. We're not in the career, I mean, the community building business, but yes, we do that. We are in the career building business, and it's fun when you think about it that way to get excited about it, because, you know, when somebody's career is taken off, it really can change lives. So that's the fun part and the rewarding part of doing that. But yeah, so that's what I would say to that. It is a lot of fun, and it's an honor to represent such a great community.
And how is working for different countries?
Different countries?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So when I came on, I had a little bit of experience internationally, but not near as much as I do now. But I enjoy that part of it, learning different cultures and learning, you know, how people do different things and just, you know, just day-to-day life, as well as just the different customs and those sort of things. You know, for example, I'm fortunate enough, been to Japan and Tokyo a few times. And, you know, that culture is real different than a Dutch culture, where, you know, they just, the nuances are a little bit different, or how you, you know, talk to people or manage things. You know, one culture might be a little bit more direct than others. And you got to remind yourself, okay, they're being direct, but they're not being mean. You know, that might be mean in America, but it's not, you know, mean in other countries. And I'm trying to, you know, leave out the names. People know who they are. But anyway, so yeah, it is kind of neat though. And to be able to, I would say a little bit of that happens in the U.S. as well. You know, maybe not so much now, but I recall, especially pre-COVID, you know, if I was going to an event in New York, I'd be in a suit. You know, you're going to an event out in the Midwest, you could probably pull off, you know, a jacket, no jacket, and some jeans, and you're good to go. So South Florida, shorts. No, I'm kidding. I can't do shorts at a business meeting, but I want to. But yeah, so it is different learning all the different cultures and the nuances between them.
And what kind of problems that you are solving all these years?
The big thing that we like to help people out is how do they navigate both their IT, I'm going to say infrastructure, it's probably not the best way to say it, but, you know, how do they help their companies navigate what they need and how to deliver IT solutions for their company? And that might be, you know, if you remember back in the, you know, early 2000, it wasn't, you know, if you're going to virtualize your servers, it's we're doing it, and how do we make everything work? I was talking to a friend the other day, and we're like, yeah, you remember the good old days when we would talk about drivers and, oh, you got to get this particular network card to make it work, and it was a little bit more cumbersome to get a virtual server up and running. And, you know, you wouldn't, if you called the application support, don't tell them that it's virtualized, because the first thing they're going to tell you to do is, you know, put it on a physical server. You know, this is 2000s, this is a long time ago. But that's what VMUG did, and we really helped companies get value out of virtualization. Now all that stuff happens a little bit easier. But with some of the changes that Broadcom has brought on, namely in the reduction of licenses, you kind of have four main licenses now. People are looking at it, okay, I used to just run, maybe you just ran vSphere. Well, now you're looking at VCF. And Broadcom is highly encouraging you to run VCF, which is a full stack, you know, vSphere, vSAN, NSX, ARIA, you get the full thing. So to do that, it's all right, now I need to understand, do I continue to run in a siloed environment, or do I adopt the SDDC, the Software Defined Data Center? Can VCF allow me to, you know, run a cloud model on-prem? And, you know, VCF is vCloud Foundation, and that, you know, I mean, the name says it all, right? It's Cloud Foundation. You can run it wherever you want to. Most of our members do things on-prem. And so the ability to be able to run that and get that agility of a hyperscaler at on-prem, you know, that's great. That's a big business differentiator. That allows you to be faster, be more nimble. And By the way, if you do need to expand up into the cloud, pick your hyperscaler of choice or pick your cloud service provider of choice, you've got the ability with VCF to do that. So we tell our members, like, these are the things that you need to be thinking about so you're ready for that next acquisition. You're ready for that next business pivot. And we want to try to position our VMUG members to be at the table with the business units, talking about how IT can be a business differentiator. We shouldn't just be sitting back thinking, hey, we're just here. We keep the blinky lights running. We keep your email running. And, you know, we're just a call center. IT needs to be a revenue center. Yes, there's costs with, you know, IT. We're never getting away from that. And it's probably going up. That's just the way of the world, as is everything is. So that is some of the things, the problems that we're trying to solve. The second thing is around the career. I mean, I said it earlier, but it's like, how can you do the things that you want to do with your career and continue to move up? Some things that I tell our members is like, look, that vSphere admin job that served you well the past decade is not going to serve you the same in the next decade. Like, you've got to add to that skill set. So what does that mean? That means adding on storage virtualization, network virtualization. Again, start adopting moving up the stack. And our members are telling us they want to do that. Obviously, they want to do it with VMware because they built their careers on that. And so it's helping them understand, if you get that certification, maybe you go get your VCP, your VMware Certified Professional certification, then that's going to help you. And if your company is not willing to invest in things above above vSphere, but you want to go to that next level, prepare yourself to go get that next job. Maybe it's with a provider, maybe it's with Broadcom, maybe it's with a bigger company. You know, whatever that case may be. But we also encourage them to say, hey, lay the framework and the foundation and the TCO data in front of your company to say, this is why we need to do this, and this is how I'm going to save you money by adopting some of these new technologies. So that's a challenge. And the thing fighting against that most of the time is budget. And, you know, budget's always going to be part of that equation. But again, it's going to be showing value. So if you're a customer are a member that is not looking to go the VCF route, the VCOP Foundation route, then maybe there's ways we can help you to show why you need to do that for your company. Or if you're a customer that's like, look, I feel like I'm forced to go VCF, or you're like, we've got the money, we're just going to buy VCF. Well, how do you extract all the value you can out of that investment that you've made? And, you know, VMware and Broadcom is doing the subscription. So this is going to be something that's going to happen every month or every week or every time they upgrade the system. And being on subscription, you're going to get that upgrade. You're going to have that upgrade available to you immediately, you know, whether you deploy it or not, it's up to you. But that's why it's kind of an ongoing thing. It never stops. I mean, you know, IT, it never stops. It's always, always upgrading, always changing. And it's how we adapt to that.
So how you are able to tell your customers or your clients about the constant technology change that is happening, because you have been in technology for a long time and you saw the evolution, and how you are able to talk with the leaders that, you know, the business leaders that you are interacting with, they may or may not have the technology knowledge, but how you're able to match the resources management with the technology needs.
So we do that on many different levels, and I'll kind of start with the lowest and then build up. I mentioned our volunteer leaders. They do a tremendous amount of work for VMUG. They're volunteers, and they will run local chapters. So this would be, we've got a lot of chapters in India, and a lot of chapters obviously in the US and Europe and really everywhere. So they'll get together and they say, hey, what topic do we want to talk about? And they'll pick one and they'll invite their local community. These are usually in-person events, might be 10 people there, might be 100 people there. It kind of depends on the location, what the topic is, all these kind of things. And then we're here to empower the leaders to understand, you know, what they tell us, this is what we want to talk about. Do you have resources around that? And then we work with Broadcom to provide resources. It could be a speaker. Maybe we Zoom in a speaker, or maybe there's one local that can come talk. Or it may be just resources. Hey, here's some online resources that you can do. And so that's how that conversation starts. So generally, it's like a formal presentation. Maybe it's a PowerPoint, live demo, something like that. But I tell people often the magic and the power of eMUG is that peer-to-peer connection. It's the ability to sit next to somebody and say, hey, what are you working on? Oh, you're getting ready to deploy vSAN? Well, I've already done it. Let me tell you how that worked for me. Or maybe it's the reverse. I haven't done it yet. Tell me how it goes. What are you doing about this? So that's where the magic is, because you're generally talking to people who are close to you from a geo perspective, and you can meet with them up later on. Maybe you share contact information. Maybe you hit them up on LinkedIn or Twitter or however you're communicating with them. So the local meetings are very important. Now, we also have some programs that sit on top of that. We do virtual webinars. These are 1 hour type webinar things. It'll be very specific on a topic, usually delivered by Broadcom or a partner. And then on top of that, we have virtual events that, you know, we'll have maybe 1,000 people at these events. And because it can, you know, geo doesn't matter at that point. And this will be a full day event where we have a keynote breakout session. We have partners. Partners are a big part of eMUG because VMware, of course, is just software. You need hardware in this. You need other partners. You need other solutions to fill the void where VMware doesn't, you know, provide a solution. And so we've got partners at these things as well. And then on top of that is our user cons. These are our 1 day events. They're in person. We just did one in Charlotte. What's the day? Friday. So that was Tuesday. I was in Charlotte. We had 200 people there. We had a keynote speaker, breakout session. We had about 15, 20 people in the exhibit hall. And so members got together there. And we tell people that there's really two things that we want you to get out of a vMUG anytime you come to vMUG. Number one is, what is something you can use tomorrow that's going to make your life easier? Maybe it's some, you know, knob to turn on vSphere that makes it work better. Or maybe it's some nagging issue that you had and, you know, you fixed it. Number two is, what is something that you need to know about that's coming down the pipe that you might not know right now? And of course, the big buzzword right now is AI. You know, last year it was Kubernetes. Year before that, it was multi-cloud. So, you know, the industry and, you know, a little bit of marketing in there, they're always going to have something that you got to learn about next. And, you know, we leave it up to our members what route they go, what they deploy, who they deploy it with, and those kind of things. We just want to educate them on the opportunities. But the big way to get either one of those is, again, that peer-to-peer connection. Making the connections, doing things like we're doing right now, and talking to people and finding out what they're doing and how they're doing it, and then giving back and saying, oh, I can help you out with that. It doesn't have to be a presentation as a user con or at a local meeting, though we're always looking for those. It could just be saying hello and talking to somebody, you know, over a coffee or at lunch or something like that. So I encourage folks, especially after 2 years of COVID, get back to in-person events, start talking to people and making those connections. Because for 2 years, we weren't able to make, or I'll say we weren't easily able to make new connections. And I think those are key, and we've got to make up for some lost time.
I'm sure you might have worked with companies or businesses which has different states. So how is that experience?
So yes, we work with all different kind of companies, SMB, commercial, enterprise. And it was interesting, a while back we did a survey and we said, hey members, we're looking the best way to get our content out, the best way to help you. And we asked, do you want to split it up and have, you know, hey, this is an enterprise track, commercial track, SMB track. And everybody, the SMB, commercial, and enterprise said, no, you got to keep it together, because there's things that an enterprise can do because they have the money that an SMB or commercial can learn from. And then the enterprise were like, the SMB and commercial can move a lot quicker than we can. So they might be able to deploy something quicker and get it going in production quicker than we can. And we want to learn from that. And I was kind of surprised. I really thought that they would say, you know, yeah, let's split it up. I'm enterprise. You know, the SMB issues aren't my issues. But when you think about running, you know, a software-defined data center, you know, it doesn't matter if you have five hosts or 5,000 hosts, there's going to be a lot of similarities in the challenges that you have. And let's face it, security's on everybody's, you know, that's top of mind for everybody. We've got all kind of world issues going on, with a couple of wars happening. There's bad actors going on all over the place. In security, it doesn't matter if you're just a mom and pop or a, you know, Fortune 500 company. You know, that's something that we all rally around and all talk about. And also a big piece of that is, yes, we can put technology behind that, but it's also about educating that end user on, you know, don't click that cat video, or, you know, you didn't really, you know, hear from some prince that's going to give you $1 million or whatever it is, that people, you know, they fall into those categories. So it's, how do we prevent them from doing that through education, but also how do we remediate and mitigate after it happens? So that's kind of a top of mind solution that people are interested in hearing about from VMUGS, regardless if you're SMB, commercial, or enterprise, it's all the same.
Is it same working for companies which belongs to different industries?
No, it's we haven't really found that that's been that difficult, because again, the members are generally doing the same thing, right? They're managing data centers, they're managing workloads, they're managing apps and those kind of things. And yes, we do have some specific programs that maybe are for healthcare. You know, healthcare, there's a lot of VDI in healthcare, a lot of end-user computing in healthcare. So that might be something that we might have a program specifically for that. But we'll still have people that aren't in that example, aren't in healthcare, that's like, hey, we use that too for whatever reason. And we want to learn from what they're doing. So I think from a user group perspective, I don't know that that's that big of a deal as far as, you know, depending on whatever industry you're in. Most people can learn from that. In some cases, it's an advantage, because if you're sitting across the table with your industry peers, you might be less apt to talk at the details about your infrastructure. Where if you're talking to somebody that's not a competitor, then it's like, okay, I can go a little bit deeper and explain my situation to try to get help or try to understand what's going on, because you're not worried about, oh, I'm talking to, you know, my competitor that's right down the road from me kind of thing. If you're in two totally different industries, you know, it doesn't, you know, some of that is lifted as far as the concern about how much detail you talk about.
So how you're able to work on the engineering side of the technology, also the business aspect of the technology?
So my background has been, I mean, I've been in IT my entire career, and I've sold networks and services. I've done training, worked on the help desk. I moved up. I was on the telecom side for a while. My last job before this was managing a data center who's part of the CSP, which is a cloud service provider program. So they're, you know, certified VMware, the whole stack's VMware and all that kind of stuff. So I say all that to tell you a story. I remember the day when this was when I was with an insurance company. My team came to me and they're like, Brad, we got to take your admin credentials away. And I'm like, no, why? I think I was director of technology services at the time. And they were like, no, you know why? And they're like, well, you know, we got the audit. And I kind of known this was coming, because it didn't make sense, because I had long passed being the guy behind the keyboard and more into management. So I would say, to answer your question, it's more for me about management and the day-to-day things, and less about, you know, being the IT engineer that I used to be in the past. But that's okay. You know, we've got to all make that decision if we're going to head in that direction. And you can't, it's hard to do both, to be the person that's really behind the keyboard getting stuff done, but then also talking to the business units. And in my case, you know, different partners or Broadcom or whomever I'm talking to. But I will say this, I you know, obviously I go to VMworld and VMware Explore, and I go to a bunch of other conferences, and I do sit into tech sessions and remember the good old days, and I can still follow along pretty good. So all the tech hasn't lost me yet, but it is more of a management, you know, from a day-to-day perspective. And I've talked to other members, and they're kind of in that boat too, right? Some point you hit that fork in the road, and you got to decide which way you're going to go. And, you know, pros and cons to both sides of it. That's a personal decision, but that's something that we've talked about as well in our membership.
So different lands have different laws. So you're working internationally. So how you are making things happen?
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, most of the time, it's not really that much of a challenge for us. I mean, think about it. We're coming in, we're doing an event, you know, they'll let us know, you know, what the VAT is in different countries, or, you know, whatever the costs are. And we just manage those budgets. We've got three offices in the U.S. in Nashville, Chicago, and D.C. We also have an office in the Netherlands that kind of handles all of our European things. And, you know, they know, you know, they're kind of responsible for what that means and following all the laws and all the different countries in Europe and that sort of thing. So it's not that big of a lift for us. There are some things that we have to watch out from a software distribution perspective, because some countries, you know, we're not able to send software there. And though we are not, you know, like I said earlier, we're not Broadcom, so it's not that software, but we do have a program called VMUG Advantage. And that is a program that gives you discounts on training and certification, but it also has eval experience. And that's where you have nearly all the VMware software that you can download in a 365-day key for your home lab only, not for production. Got to keep it home lab only. You're not getting support on this, all that kind of stuff. But we do distribute that software. And so our members use that. They use it for a proof of concept. Maybe they want to upgrade to vSphere, you know, 8 before they do it in production. Maybe they want to kick the tires on, you know, VCF or vSAN or NSX or whatever it is. And so that's a great program for them. Now, that's not free. That's not part of free. That's a paid program that it's $210 US, and that's a year for a year. So it's subscription base, yearly base. And you know, for you and your listeners, you can use the code community and get 10% off, and that brings it down to 189 US. But nonetheless, part of that, talking about international, you know, laws and things, you know, we got to make sure when we're distributing that it's going to the right country and it's not going to the countries that are on the list that it can't go to. And that list changes, kind of depends on what's going on in the world. And so, you know, of course, there's, you know, AP things in the background that manages all that. But we do have folks that make sure that the AP links and everything is up and we're all communicating on the back end with who we need to communicate to. The other thing is just with funds management. You know, some countries handle funds differently. Some countries won't let us necessarily have a checking account or an account in the local country because we don't have an office there, and we can't have offices in every country. So there's a few things here and there that we run into, but nothing too big that we can't get over.
You are helping companies in providing IT services and helping them to do their business and concentrate on their business. So what size of the companies that you work with and you are helping for?
We work with all different sizes. In fact, let me think about this. We just got the new report. So I remember 41% of them were enterprise size customers. And I think it was 24 was SMB, and so the rest was commercial. So, you know, it's a pretty even spread as far as, you know, who's who and, you know, what level company they are. I will say this, our members are individuals. It's not companies. So, you know, one larger company could have, you know, 10, 50, 100 members, and we would count that as 100 members, not just one company. So that's how sometimes it's a little bit skewed. Like most manufacturers will say, oh, we've got, you know, X amount of enterprise customers, and they're talking company names, not individuals. So a little bit of nuance there, but we have members that are enterprise, commercial, and small business. So it's a little bit of everything.
What you are enjoying most in your job, in your role?
Oh, that's an easy one. It's getting out in front of people. Meeting them, talking about to them. It's amazing. I've got, you know, friends and colleagues all over the globe, and it's just fun to keep those, that network going, you know, keep people talking. I got a text this morning from a friend of mine. He's up in Pittsburgh. I'm in Nashville. He's not that far away, but still he knew we had some tornadoes that came through last night. He's like, hey, are you doing all right? I heard you had some tornadoes. And that's the value again of just meeting people, talking to people. These are no longer members. They're no longer clients. They are friends. And so building that friend network. And VMware Explorer is always like a big family reunion. You know, you got, you know, I don't know how many people show up there, you know, 15, 20,000 people. And it's like, oh yeah, I get to see all these friends again. Kaz is my good friend from Japan. He's planning on, I'm gonna see him next week actually at Dell Tech World. So we keep up, you know, and we talk to each other. And so building out those friendships is what is the best part of my job. And I would say a close second is seeing how people take advantage of VMUG. I mean that in a good way, but it really, you know, makes their career accelerate. So I encourage all your listeners, go be a VMUG member. Go to vmug.com. Membership is free. I'm not selling you anything. Get plugged in and find your local chapter and start meeting people. It really will help your career. And obviously there's a lot going on with Broadcom and the changes and those kind of things. So it's good to have that network. It was really good during COVID as well. There was a lot of times we would all just, you know, get on a Zoom and, you know, have a coffee or whatever it was, and, you know, just stay connected. So it's the friendships is the best part.
Atlas, what do you say to my audience who will be listening and watching this from anywhere on this planet?
Oh, wow. So again, I would say join VMUG. That's the first thing you need to do. And when you're joining VMUG, again, it's free. Make sure you select what community you're in. That way you're going to get information about, oh, we're going to have a meeting here and it could be close to you and those kind of things. So you can get plugged in on that local level. The second thing is, you know, make sure that you are keeping your head up every now and again and looking what's coming down the road. A lot of times I've seen members, they just get so focused on, oh, here's my vSphere environment. I need to keep this going, keep it going, keep it going. And then, and, you know, there's some big changes going on that you need to prepare for. I heard a lot about that early on when the cloud was coming on and, you know, all the hyperscalers were getting ramped up. And, you know, kind of the joke was, oh, you know, my boss was on the golf course with his boss and they're like, oh, we're doing this in the cloud. And the edict came down, let's move everything to the cloud. And, you know, that's probably not the best idea or the best way to make that decision. But nonetheless, you know, talk to people and help them, you know, help them learn how to navigate that. So that's my advice is, you know, lift your head up every now and again. Think about where you want to be in the next, you know, 6, 9, 12 months. Think about where you want your company to be and think about the technology that's going to enable that so you can be prepared for it. So when your boss comes to you and says, hey, I want to go do that next shiny thing, you can say, boss, I've already thought about that. Here's where we're either attacking it and looking at it, or here's why it's not a good idea for us right now. Maybe it's a wait and see, whatever it is. And that's hard to do because sometimes we just, again, we get in our own world and, you know, we just are doing everything that we can to keep things going. Keeping an IT shop running is difficult. You know, sometimes that's not an 8-to-5 job. You know, we're working weekends, we're doing upgrades on holidays, we're doing all that kind of stuff to keep, you know, our uptime is as close to 5 nines as we can, but you do need to find time to do that. And then take care of yourself. You know, burnouts are real. And if you need somebody to talk to or something like that, don't be afraid to reach out to a colleague. That, again, that's another great place for a VMUG to find out what's going on and reach out to individuals. And, you know, that's kind of what we're here for. We're all, you know, part of this big world and we're all part of humankind. So we want to help each other out. So I think that would be the three bullets that I would have for your listeners out there.
I'll put your web link on the screen also in the description, also in my website as well. People who visit my website or my channels can able to see your work and can able to join and can get benefit and solve their problems.
Perfect. That sounds good. And you've got my information. Feel free to share that with everyone as well. And anything I can do to help out, let me know. And thanks so much for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
Sure. And at last, as a leader, as a problem solver, as a global advisor, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
I had not heard of you until you reached out to me. And then I did listen to the one that you sent me. What was it on? Was it Oracle or was it Salesforce? I can't remember which one it was.
AWS.
AWS.
Yeah, you. At last, you were telling about your observation about my work.
Yeah. Sounds good. So first of all, thanks for having me on. And I remember when you, you know, sent me the link and kind of invited me. I admittedly hadn't heard of you before, but I'm like, what is this? I kind of thought it was spam to begin with. But then when you sent me the link of the AWS interview, I'm like, wow, this is pretty impressive. So, you know, good for you. I think it's great to, you know, just reach out to people and see if we can make connections. That's fantastic. I feel like that's part of what VMUG is about. And I really enjoyed that interview that you did. And, you know, again, keep doing what you're doing. It's obviously working. And thanks for all you do.
I did master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working as a DevOps engineer. So I know nice. I'm very well aware of the services that you're providing and how you are helping businesses to solve their problems. I'm also into the business side of the technology. So I was curious to know what you're doing and how you're making, you know, things happen. And I wanted to tell about it to my audience. So as an observer, You know, you have been in technology, you have seen a lot of people you will be interacting with. You are a people's person, you know, understanding engineering also. You are, interacting with a lot of people, you know, in different kind of mediums. It can be virtual or in person. So me trying to communicate with all these countries, experts and individuals and, you know, business leaders and who belongs to different industries. Me trying to acquire knowledge and trying knowing how they are solving problems and what I'm going to learn and how this experience, you know, experts like you, talking with experts like you, how this experiences is going to be helpful for me in coming days in my future or career.
Well, I think in a couple of ways. Number one, it's key to be able to connect with people regardless of where they are geographically, but also where they are maybe from an experience level, right? Like somebody that maybe focuses on, you know, a CFO role might not be that technical. So you've still got to be able to communicate with them. On the other hand, you might be talking to somebody that's very technical and maybe, you know, super beyond in their career. So you got to be able to talk to them as well. So communication is key. And I think people communicate better when you can make that kind of connection with them, right? You know, find out what they're doing, whatever. You know, it's almost, I think everybody has heard this before, but we're all in sales, right? It doesn't matter if you're a developer or if you're a, you know, data center admin or if you're an accountant. You're always selling something, either in your job or maybe in your personal life. You know, my wife and I, you know, we're always selling something to each other. It might even be where we're going to dinner that night. But I think having those interpersonal skills is what really makes the difference. And, you know, you obviously have that. You've got, you know, I'll say the charm, the charisma, right? You're reaching out to people, you're putting yourself out there, which I think is fantastic. You've probably been rejected before. I mean, we all have, right? But you keep doing what you're doing. I think that'll pay real dividends because people can learn the technology and really this applies to any industry. People can learn whatever it is that they need you to do, maybe through education, formal education, maybe through on-the-job training, maybe through YouTube, self-training. There's a gajillion different ways to do this. But when you combine that with the interpersonal skills and the ability to communicate, that's when the 1 + 1 = 4 instead of 2, because it compounds the value of a human being when they can do both of those things. And look, it doesn't mean you're not going to be successful if you don't have both those things and that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying that. But I do feel like, you know, I'm in the IT industry, so I have more experience with this. From an IT perspective, I feel like most people tend to be introverts. And when you can get out of that and, you know, if you're an introvert, you're probably always going to be an introvert. But if you can understand, look, I need to go to this conference and I need to interact with people and I need to make connections because that's going to help my career. And then when the conference is over, you can go crash and be by yourself for a couple of days. No problem with that. You need to understand what you can do, how to do it. But I do think it's important to do both. And so I think that's why things like this really helps out people in the long run. I feel like it's for any industry, but I'll stick with IT. I've seen it so many times in IT. A big one is like people say, oh, I don't like public speaking. And so they don't do it. But then one day they do it. And then like, wow, okay, it's kind of scary, but fun. And then they get better at it. And the next thing you know, they're presenting in front of their, you know, board of directors or their boss or whatever, trying to, again, sell them why they need, you know, technology XYZ. And they can talk about it technically, but they can also deliver that message in a way that resonates with the audience, regardless of where the audience is. So I think that's one of the skills out there that people need to, I don't say work on, but I think people need to think about adding that to their, you know, overall skill set. If they already have it, keep honing it, keep honing it, keep, you know, doing it, keep putting it out there. You know, I'm fortunate enough. I speak in front of 50 people. I speak in front of 1,000 people. And, you know, I still get nervous every time. And if I'm doing something ahead of time, it could be a 3-minute intro and I'll practice that thing all the time. You know, I'll practice it on the way into work and I'll practice it, you know, with my kids. They all laugh. They're like, Dad, we could do your sales pitch or your, you know, your little spiel anytime. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I know people that don't practice and they're good at it too. They're better than I. So you got to find what works for you. But the main thing is to work on it. So that would be, that'd be my takeaway.
It's really motivating me, and also a lot of, you know, people will be learning from a lot of information that you have said through your experience. So can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Absolutely. Please put it out there. You can put my contact information out there too, and have people reach out. Probably the best way to get me is either they can hit me up on LinkedIn, or put my Twitter handle out there. And my Twitter handle is open. So if you want to DM me, you don't even have to follow me. You can hit me up that way. So those two things would be fine. And definitely put it out there on YouTube and let me know when it's up.
Also, can I put this on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yes, you got my permission to put it anywhere and everywhere.
Thank you very much, Brad, for your valuable time and sharing your, you know, your work to my audience, and also answering to some of my questions.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks so much for inviting me. And if you're in India, I know it's late your time, so I appreciate you working the midnight hour there for me.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.